Yeah, this is about how long I thought we were going to talk about this, that we didn't need another topic. So, yep. That sounds about right.
You know, that came in shorter than it could have.
It did.
There are definitely ones like this where we hit 2.5.
Yep.
So 220, including pre-show, could have been worse. Yep.
Or better, depending on your point of view. You know, there are some people who would listen to us talk for 3 hours. So
very true.
You know, yep.
You could see the Odyssey or.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't make that comparison.
Because I mean, presumably many people who are listening to the podcast and, you know, not like going to an IMAX theater to listen to the podcast, right? Is incorporating it into their lives.
That's a terrifying idea of my face up on an IMAX screen. God almighty.
Apparently, there's only like a handful, like not very many 70 millimeter IMAX theaters in the country, right? Like, so it's kind of a dick move for Christopher Nolan to film The Odyssey in 70 millimeter IMAX and have that be the intended viewing experience when no one has one of those near them. Unless they're in like one of the really big cities. And then also, they're not made, those projectors are not made for Nolan 3-hour films. So some people went and it overheated. The projector overheated. And I think even during filming, right, their cameras would overheat and stuff. And if you look at the side-by-side comparison of 70mm versus like a regular viewing, there's scenes where like the Lestragonians tops, like you can't see their heads, which is an effect if you think it's intentional, right? It's like, oh, these people are big. But to know that it's like, oh no, that's not the intent, it's just they're being cut off by the screen. And same thing with, there's a scene with Agamemnon where it's like the top of his helmet is cut off by the screen, and it, I don't know, I look, the movie was very, very good. It is worth seeing regardless of what kind of screen you can see it on, but I think that is not a very nice move to do, to like film on this super exclusive thing.
I'll just wait for the novelization.
Yeah. apparently the Emily Wilson translation is what inspired him to make the film, which is a newer translation that's gotten a lot of, well, newer, gotten a lot of acclaim. And yeah, definitely excellent film. I have my certain other gripes with it. But some of which I think are just like artistic differences. And I'm like, he did what he did. And I think it works and it's great. It's just not a part of how I like the story. The gods are very like, are they real or not in the film?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, is a bold choice, and I think it absolutely works for his kind of filmmaking, and it's not one I would have made.
So I just looked because I have tickets to see it that I got, well, before it came out with my friend at 2 p.m. on Tuesday.
Nice.
And yes, the San Francisco IMAX AMC Metreon is 70 millimeters.
Nice.
So that was like, I didn't even realize that. I was just like, well, I don't usually do IMAX, but I should do IMAX. And I, you know, I have taught the Odyssey. So I'm interested to see what he does with it. And yeah, see whether what I think about the artistic choices, but you know, ultimately like you have to make the film the way that you want to make it. And then, you know, people will agree or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. If you compare with like Oppenheimer and other things he has made, you would be like, oh yeah, this is Christopher Nolan's Odyssey. you can see a lot of similarities with Oppenheimer, Tenet,
Interstellar,
you know, all those. It like, I think even, you know, if you rewatched some of those leading up to, it would potentially enhance the experience. But
yeah, maybe I should rewatch Interstellar. I enjoyed Interstellar.
I would say probably particularly Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. So I've heard anyway. I need to go back and watch Oppenheimer apparently. But he makes some very good points. and I think that's present in the Emily Wilson translation as well.
I wish I had done that the last time I taught the Odyssey. I wish we had like translations already at the school, but I wish I had done the Emily Wilson translation with her. We did in the paper that she wrote, she talked about a essay from Emily Wilson about like how she interpreted things differently. And it would be fun also to get that student's impression of the film if she sees it. So this was my absolutely brilliant, better reader than me, AP English literature student who had read like, you know, I was like, here are 10 contemporary novels that are like important books with a capital I that I have also read that we could read. And she's like, yeah, I've read 8 of those. And I was like, okay.
This is why it was a 10 list law, you know, 10 book list.
Okay, nerd. Like,
pick one you haven't.
Yeah, it was almost I think she's actually, I was better read in speculative fiction because she wasn't super into like speculative fiction, fantasy, sci-fi. But she was probably actually at age 18, better read than me in literary novels. Maybe not somewhat older literary novels, but like contemporary literary novels. So not something that you necessarily run into super often. I still had things to teach her. And there's always stuff to explore, and it was really fun to talk about the books and her impressions of them and find other articles to read to get a different perspective, or like, you know, things from the authors and stuff like that. Critiques of it she hadn't done as much. She also could figure out that it was really easy to get me off topic by talking about psychology.
Mm.
So it was kind of like 25% of psych class.
Okay. Wow.
I
guess at least as long as you're learning, I suppose, then, you know.
Yeah, that the having the individual classes, especially English, you can end up off topic. Although, you know, part of that is like individualized to what is the student interested in, as long as you're still getting to the core things you're trying to teach. Harder to do that in something like math, where like there is a very specific curriculum that you have to get through. So, or something like science, there's a very specific curriculum, but you can like highlight it in very different ways. I had a science 8 student who was extremely distractible, but I found if for like every 5 minutes of boring, we had 5 minutes of like, and here's a fun application, like really limit the boring, which is good for any student as much as possible, but like this student especially, really limit the boring, like you do need to know what this vocab word means, I'm so sorry, with the like, hey, but we're talking about isotopes and radioactive decay, have you heard of Chernobyl? I can't talk. he was like, no, what? So I suppose it means, you know, that I'm a younger person that can use that. It's been long enough that maybe we can use it as an interesting thing in class instead of just a tragedy. But he was definitely interested in that.
Yeah, you could do the Challenger explosion. That was, I was in first grade and watched that.
Yep.
So yeah, you could do that. And that's like a historical thing and not like a traumatic thing that they wheel a television into your first grade classroom to show you.
Right. It's weird that we are like not too far from that being, I mean, I suppose we already are there in terms of 9/11 being a historical thing.
To right? My students, like, it totally is. Yeah.
Anyone younger than millennial,
yeah,
you weren't in school.
Oh yeah. My kids are all like, you know,
right.
Like they didn't know what was going on. Right.
I mean, so. And I being like on the younger end of millennial, right? It's like, okay, well, I like it happened when I was a kid and I was aware and horrified, but it wasn't like I was a high schooler whose teachers turned on the news and everything stood still and you were like, what is happening? Right. And where you could like really grasp. Yeah.
I did not. My parents did a good job of keeping me from quite understanding how bad it was when it happened. And then like a few years later, when I was in middle school, I finally looked up footage and I finally sort of like got it.
And like, oh, this was a big deal. This is why we went to war.
Yeah. I was in a training class at my first job and we didn't find out about what was going on. It was like early morning, but we didn't find out what was going on until after the class ended. And then we came out and we're like, have you heard what's going on? Like, no, what's going on? Because like we're in like a windowless room and like, you know. And then all of a sudden it was just like, no, you, as one would imagine, no work got done for the rest of the day. But yeah, it was like after like everything had already, like, I think both tower, at least one tower had come down, if not both towers had come down by the time we got out of the class. And it was like, wait, what? What do you mean that all happened? Which is probably better than like hearing it blow by blow, I suppose. But it was kind of a surreal
thing. Actually did, because of the fact that like anybody who was alive and heard about it has that strong memory. They, in the psych research, they call it flashbulb memories. And one of my professors in school had done research on the flashbulb memories and used 9/11 because you could get any American participant and just be like right after. She got a bunch of people and just said, where were you when you heard it? And wrote it down.
Yeah. Right.
And then like a year later, where were you when you heard it? And then like 5 years later, where were you when you heard it? And actually, surprisingly, people still had equally vivid a memory, but details were often wrong later on.
Yeah.
So just it's even those like very vivid memories that you feel like you really, really remember, the details are often not quite correct. Yeah, I was watching the Mr. Rogers documentary with a different student because we needed to analyze a documentary and we were like, let's find something that's wholesome because the world is depressing. So we did the Mr. Rogers documentary, which was very sweet and interesting. It was a little hard to analyze in some ways because it's easier to analyze a bad documentary and just be like, these are the things that are bad in the documentary, and it's harder to analyze one that's sort of trying to get out of the way. But some of the stuff that it talked about was how he didn't shy away with dealing with difficult subjects with kids and trying to talk about them and give kids language, because he's like, they know at the beginning of his career that JFK got assassinated. And at the end, the 9/11 happened. And my student was like, we don't have anything like that, where the whole country was united in horror. I said, what about January 6th? She said, well, half the country didn't think so.
Yep.
And COVID was kind of... COVID was the same thing.
Well, right?
COVID was also like... No, the beginning of COVID wasn't, I don't think. But it was like... It was slow and it was kind of far away for a lot of people. So it wasn't...
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as immediate.
Was just, yeah. That is a shared trauma, especially for everyone who was in school, I think. But it's very extended. There wasn't like one moment where where everyone found out simultaneously that this was happening.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there was that one day when they like canceled all the basketball games and then, you know, it kind of happened slowly and then all at once. But
in March. Yeah. I remember we had a staff meeting. Like there were so many places where I was like, all right, we'll be gone for 2 weeks and then we'll be back.
Yeah.
At my boss kind of knew that this was probably not going to be just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't think this is 2 weeks, guys. And we were like, well, hopefully it's just 2 weeks. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I don't think this is 2 weeks, guys, but we'll see.
I think that, I mean, my wife always tries to tell me, they're like, look, people have been divided over a lot of things. It's not that we are necessarily more polarized or more divided than we used to be. It's just out there with, you know, online and social media and things. Like the amount is not different, but yeah, I do think that to some extent we've gotten numbed and separated in these ways that are kind of like hard to pinpoint exactly what's the cause, such that like Yeah, so many flashpoints. It's now political, right?
Yeah.
And you're choosing sides. So we can't all be on the same side, right? I think, like, if Utah, if Salt Lake finally, like, totally dries up and the city becomes the toxic wasteland that is going to happen, but I don't know how quickly and how people will evacuate. But say that happened overnight, a tragedy. I'm, like, not confident that everyone would like, band together and be like, yes, the refugees from Salt Lake City, you know, everyone, let them into your cities. It would be like, now we told you climate change was coming. Like, or it's a hoax, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, well, and the trust in the news. Everything right now is people are just like, it's a hoax.
It's just a flesh wound. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when Alex Jones was like, there's people that still believe Sandy Hook was a hoax because of Alex Jones.
Yeah. Which, I suppose there are people like that with 9/11, but they were so fringe at the time.
Yeah.
Right. And now you hear it so much louder. And yeah, the fact that there's still people who think that about Sandy Hook is just incredible in a very bad way.
Well, you know, there are also people who thought that Pearl Harbor was staged. So, you know.
And the moon landing. But it's like, actually, 1960s technology is easier to land someone on the moon than to do the special effects.
We've obviously been talking too long.
We need to. We should probably let our stream go.
Yeah,
we should find someone to raid.
Find someone to raid.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go from there.
You know us, patrons. Don't tell.
Yeah, I don't think this is people who are live in the stream and or people.
Yeah, let's see who. Well, Swoopy Daddy's streaming, and they're pretty happy that Wild is not what it was 2 days ago. So,
yes, he does seem to be happy about that.
Yes. So, I will do. Oh, I get to watch the Avatar movie tomorrow because that's out. That's fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wait, what Avatar movie?
The Avatar Last Airbender where Aang's an adult.
Oh, yeah.
That's out. That's on Paramount Plus tomorrow.
I actually have no idea how that's supposed to be.
Yeah. It was leaked like a while ago, apparently.
Well, let me know what you think.
Yeah. But I will. I'll be planning on watching that. They also announced the new series today. They had a trailer for it, the one that's taking place after Korra.
I feel like those have a shot in a way that the Netflix live action does not.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's new content.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. There's supposedly a secret movie too. So I don't know what that means. But,
secret movie.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's secret because they haven't leaked it. I don't know. But anyhow, everybody, thank you for coming out. We will see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Have a wonderful night. And be good to each other. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.